Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Jill Ajeezy, and this is Family Matters. We have taken a hiatus, and I am so happy to be back. And the people that we're going to talk to tonight, the guests that I have, are incredible, incredible women. And I think you're really going to enjoy listening to them and hearing all of the different facets of lives that are across the country and what's going on and different things that are happening, because these are certainly three different topics. But I have to tell you, riveting topics. So I want to get right to our first guest. My co-host, Judge Michelle Lawrence, is retiring. I want to tell all of you that she's retiring from family court in Chicago, Illinois, Cook County, the largest family court system in the world, and she is going into mediation. So she is going to be hosting again the next show we have, but she will be in the private sector. So she's going to be able to talk a little more about the legal system and family law from her heart, from her legal judge perspective. And so we're going to get insight that we probably haven't heard before from her. So I'm excited about that. So next time around, tune in and you'll hear Judge Michelle. But before we get to talking about a legal issue, I want to talk to somebody who's calling in from Chicago, and I'm going to grab this right now, Cassie Arnaz. Hi, Cassie.
Hi, how are you?
I am so good. How are you today?
I am great, thank you.
I'm glad. We have been in a deep freeze here in Illinois, haven't we? You've had it worse than I have. You're in Chicago. I'm in Springfield, Illinois, the capital of Illinois. But we have been in this polar vortex, and we've had horrible snow and 30 below wind chill, and it's just been horrible, hasn't it?
It has. It was so cold for 2 days. The ice was incredible. The snow was incredible on top of it. You could not get out of your areas. Your streets were horrible. The grocery stores were sold out. Everything was depleted.
It was crazy. I mean, you couldn't get water. You couldn't get milk. It was the nuttiest thing. It was like 30 years ago when we had this horrible storm in Illinois, and people were thinking it was the end of the world, you know. But we're good, and we're expecting a little more snow, but I think we're moving out of that horrible polar issue that we had. So I wanted to get you on tonight for a few minutes, and this was really kind of unplanned, but you had some news today that we wanted to talk about. And I want to say that Cassie is part of the Syndicated News family and does a terrific, terrific job for all of us at Syndicated News. We sort of rely on her to make us all look good, and she does a terrific job. Thank you for that, Cassie, because sometimes it's difficult to make us all look good, you know? But Cassie, for those of you who don't know, is Lucy and Desi Arnaz's granddaughter. And she has been working for years to have people validate that issue. And I think tomorrow, Cassie told me, it's tomorrow coming out right in the Globe, you have a story that actually validates that your mother was Lucy's daughter. And how is that all going to come out, Cassie? And what's going to happen, do you think?
Well, it's not really news, because I've been here, lived this for so long, and because I grew up with the whole entire confidentiality issue when it came to my grandmother and my mom and my grandfather, so forth and so on. I think what they actually did was put things together and brought all the pieces finally into light, if you will, all in one document. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what's in the document. I have not seen it. I'm not sure what's in the article or what's in the Globe. All I know is that they have advised me that they have our photos and that they have my mother's story and then my grandmother's story and how pieces were brought together, the legality side of it. And that's basically what I'm pretty much understanding that's been brought together. I'm not too sure what else is in there.
Do you feel comfortable right now telling us what actually happened with your mom when she was an infant?
From what I know, my mother and my grandmother had a really good relationship when my mother was younger. My understanding is that they were together quite often. Anything that was provided for my mother, anything she wanted, she received. If she wanted a horse, we had that. If she wanted, you know, those are sorts of things that you just don't really have in a single family home. My mother and I, when we lived together, it was just the two of us. And, you know, she did not work. She had a lot of luxuries appointed to her and given to her, and as did I growing up. Mm-hmm. As a child. So we had luxuries, if you will.
So and you remember Lucy coming to see
yeah.
you.
Several times. And I haven't really gone public with a lot of that, and that's part of the mystery, if you will. I really do not discuss that with a lot of people just because at times people just come out of the woodwork and they say, well, you know, when was this, and then they want all the dates, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. But at this point in time, we're basically, you know, my children and I are moving forward, as you know. We're another Desilu production, and
right.
my grandparents were Desilu Productions. So we're just moving forward. And they had a private life, my grandparents, and they had a very interesting relationship, and they had a relationship during a time when my mother was conceived where you did not have a very fair-skinned New Yorker female woman and a Latin man in matrimony. I mean, it just
right.
really was frowned upon just in general in public. Now, or just, you know, within the day-to-day of everybody else's lives, if you will. Now, magnify that by being in the movie sector, being on television, being performers, there were contracts that stipulated, you know, during those days, you could not chew gum, you could not cut your hair a certain way, you just were not allowed to do certain things. And so, you know, the whole stigma transferred over into their personal lives, from their personal lives into their professional lives, and that, you know, created a lot of problems. So my understanding is, and from the documents that I've seen and from all the legal documents that we've seen, is that my mother did not give up her daughter for adoption, or my grandmother did not give her daughter up for adoption, I'm sorry. What she did do is put her in the care of someone while she worked.
Ah.
And at that point in time, things began to become more successful for Grandma, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so Grandpa was traveling a lot, and they finally had the opportunity to be together and work in one area, which became the pilot for the I Love Lucy show.
Right.
Mom, at that point in time, was about four and a half. Don't quote me on these dates. I mean, as far as her age, but four and a half. And the I Love Lucy show came into play. Well, at that time, the person who was taking care of Mom while Grandma worked, basically, it was my understanding that Grandma felt the best thing to do was to leave Mom in her care and continue with that relationship the way that it was going. Basically, same rules. She took care of her. She paid for her. She, you know, provided items for her. She was very active in her life. And we have, you know, we have the documentation that shows that.
Yeah.
So going forward, I mean, for me, when I was born, I mean, obviously, they were that close growing up. They were close when I was born. I remember, you know, certain things that my mom would show me that she would teach me just as a child, saying, okay, Grandma this, Grandma that, you know, and we would always have that in our home. Grandma was not a secret. Now, took me a while as a child to realize Mrs. Morton and Grandma Ruth, with the lady who was taking care of us, a nurse, were two different people.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my world, whenever I heard Grandma, I thought, Ruth.
Right.
Because she was the one that took care of Mom. Mrs. Morton was always the woman that showered with gifts.
Mrs. Morton being, of course, your grandmother, Lucy, who married
yes.
Gary Morton. Right.
Correct.
Well,
correct.
So tomorrow we have a story coming out in the Globe that's going to really lay out what happened with your mother and with Lucy and Desi. And I think for you, this is some sort of validation for you. You've been working so hard to say, yes, this is who I am, this is what I am. And now it's out there. It will be out there tomorrow.
It will be out. And, right.
And so we are all waiting, especially mm-hmm. at the Syndicated News family, with bated breath to see how it's received right. and how the media, certainly because this is going to be a media frenzy, how it reacts to this story. And so
right.
I want you, well, you and I will talk, of course, because we do.
Absolutely.
And let's revisit this and see what happens. And I just hope the best for you, Cassie, that, you know, that it works out how it's supposed to and how your grandmother and grandfather would have wanted it to work out.
And honestly, I do believe that with everything, the way that it has transpired and the way that we did find out and the way that that I actually put Mrs. Morton as Lucille Ball, and it was interesting because the reporter did ask me once upon a time, and I can't quite remember which one it was, but they had asked me, how is it that you did not figure out that the I Love Lucy on TV was the same Mrs. Morton that you knew? And I said, well, it was very simple for me. I Love Lucy was in black and white, and I knew her 30 years later in color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for me, and when I wasn't allowed to watch I Love Lucy in English, and the first time I actually watched the show, it was in Mexico, so I was probably 11 or 12 at the mm-hmm. time, and the voiceover was in Spanish with somebody else's voice. I would have never guessed it.
Right.
You never put it together, and until I heard all of the, you know, until I put everything, began to put everything together after Mom passed away, it was like a ton of bricks. It just made so much sense.
So the puzzle is being placed together, and your
finally.
Heritage, and all of you, you're becoming whole all at once.
Exactly, yeah.
So
exactly.
You rest tonight. Let's read the story tomorrow, and then let's see what happens. And
absolutely.
I'm just praying for everything good for you, Cassie. And
thank you so much.
We'll talk soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you, Jill.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that's interesting. You know, Cassie is a good girl, and again, we just hope the best for her and for her family, and that she's able to see her aunt and her uncle and all of the people that she's been missing all of her life. My next guest is a good friend. She's in Texas where it's not cold and snowy, I don't think, right now. Wendy Archer, how are you?
I'm doing great. We are not in the polar vortex.
You have not had the best weather, though, have you? You've not had the best weather.
No, we've not. Right before Christmas, we had a really bizarre freeze. We had ice falling from the sky for, you know, 24 hours, and then we were literally frozen into our houses for 3 days straight. So, it's been a strange winter, but it's 45 degrees right now. It's really, really beautiful. So
Good for you.
It's
well,
very nice.
Talk about something that is near and dear to your heart and something that's coming up this week, the premiere all across the United States, is a movie called Divorce Corp. And you are one of the stars of Divorce Corp, and I'm so proud of that because you are also a chapter manager of the North Texas chapter of Parental Alienation Awareness Organization USA, and boy, am I glad we don't have name tags because that's a long name. But you have done an incredible job down there organizing such a wonderful chapter. You're an officer in the organization. You are amazing. And this movie, you were contacted. And I remember when you told me mm-hmm. that they contacted you to be in the movie, you were a little bit nervous about talking on camera, but you did it. And it's out there, and it is going crazy. It was on CNN last night. Ashley Banfield was talking about it, and Dr.
Yeah.
Drew Pinsky is a narrator. So this is a big deal. Big deal.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I loved Dr. Drew's interview last night on CNN. It was wonderful. He really did a great job of describing what the documentary is all about.
But what it is about. I mean, we know, and I say, when Michelle is on here, we talk about it all the time. When Judge Michelle and I talk about the family court system, it's a cottage industry. It is a corporation of lawyers and GALs and all of the people that work within the system that are making money off of people who are getting divorced.
Absolutely. So about a year ago, I received a phone call from a gentleman, and Los Angeles, and he said, I'm making a documentary about the business of divorce, and I would like to interview you for this documentary. And I was a little nervous and, had to, find out about him. His name is Philip Sternberg. So I did some research and found out that he's made some really excellent documentaries. And I shared with him my concern was that I did not want to be involved in a project that was just, parents talking badly about the other parents. And he assured me that that's not what the documentary was, and that's not what it's about. It really is about how the family court system is running in a way that people profit from the conflict. And they focus a lot on judicial misconduct and how attorneys can make campaign contributions to judges, like Dr. Drew talked about last night on his interview on CNN. An attorney right now can make a $1 million campaign contribution to a judge and then go before that judge the very next day and file a motion. So, it's a real serious conflict of interest. So the movie talks a lot about judges, attorneys, guardian ad litem, amicus attorneys, anyone who, makes a profit in the divorce business.
Well, and they're out there, and that's for sure. And I put a post on my Facebook page earlier today of a judge that's actually in the movie saying, do you want to fund your own children's education or the education of your attorney's children? And I think that is, I've always said I paid for overhead for half of a law office for the time that I, and the money that I paid on my divorce. And it's unfortunate that people don't go in invested in their own children's lives, because if people would go in with a parenting plan and say, this isn't an open checkbook and we need to get this done as soon as possible and our children are the most important thing here, then this would not be happening.
Absolutely. And actually in Divorce Corp, me reading directly from one of the transcripts in our case, when a judge said something very revealing and very shocking about campaign contributions. So I don't want to give it away, but I hope that people will go to divorcecorp.com or go to Fandango and look for Divorce Corp in your area and go watch this movie. Everyone really has to see this to know what's happening, because something that I say often is it can happen to anyone, so it should matter to everyone.
I love that.
This is a must-see documentary. This is something that is happening every single day, and it is destroying innocent, loving parents and their children. So extremely important. It does open this Friday. It's playing all across the country, and it is playing for 7 days. So like I said, you go to divorcecorp.com, find out where it's playing near you, or go to Fandango, and it's playing all day and all evening, just like a regular movie does.
Right. Right. And so visit divorcecorp.com to see, and you can find it in a lot of cities. It's all over the place. So we need you to see that. And then don't be shy about getting involved in legislative reform and changing what is wrong with divorce laws across this country. It's very important that you're an advocate for yourself and for your child. And don't be afraid to step out there and speak up and out about what is going wrong in the divorce system.
Absolutely. That's the one thing about the documentary that I wanted to be sure of before I participated. It's not about, there's no parent in the documentary that's there to bash the other parent. Talking about the system and what these judges are allowing to happen, that they have a moral and legal obligation, to try to help these families. And that's not happening in many cases because of the money.
So you're right.
It's a serious conflict of interest. So that's what the documentary is about. And it's very, very important that everyone go and see it and learn what's happening.
Absolutely. And Wendy, you're doing a Q&A after your premiere in Dallas, and you'll be there with Dr. Richard Warshak. And all across the country, there'll be Q&As after the movie is screened. So please, at least look at the website if you can't get to a filming and review the trailer, because it is really riveting about what is happening. And divorce affects everybody. Everybody knows somebody.
So I need to say something about that real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
it's okay.
I want to let everyone know that Dr. Warshak had to go out of town, and he will not be there Friday night. So I hate to say that.
That's okay.
You know,
that's okay.
We're all disappointed, but I don't want anybody to go and you know, say, hey, where's Dr. Warshak? But
okay.
I will be there this Friday night. We actually have two Dallas theaters. So if you go to divorcecorp.com, or find me on Facebook, I can, you know, tell you which theater and what time, because we actually have two theaters in Dallas, because Texas is just a, you know, very hotbed for this issue. But anyway, I'm doing a Q&A Friday night, and we do have a panel. We've got some attorneys that will be with me talking about these issues. And then on Sunday night, the 12th, our director, Joe Sorge, will be flying here from Los Angeles, and he and I will be doing a Q&A together. That's on Sunday, the 12th.
Terrific. Wendy, hang in there. You're doing a good job, and we appreciate everything you do to bring all of this to light. And we will talk to you soon. Break a leg this weekend, okay?
All right. Thanks, Jill. Stay warm.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, my next guest. Now we're gonna get a little bit more lighthearted right now, and want to talk to Nicole Ann Tortorello Fanovich. What a great name! Hey, Nicole.
Hi, Jill. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay. Thank you for being so patient. This kind of came up last minute, as you could hear, and so we had to kind of squeeze that in before we talked to you. But I have to tell you, if I had your name, I would say it all the time. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you. So I have to apologize, you being out in the Chicago area. Your first caller, Kathy, and you. I'm from Chicago originally and relocated to Arizona just this May. So this is my first winter I'm missing in Chicago.
And are you missing it?
I am not missing it at
at all.
Well, it is 75 degrees here and sunny, and I keep seeing posts on Facebook from all my friends and family with you know, horrific stories of all the storms and ice and cars not starting and you name it.
Well, I see that your area is the only area in the United States that has good weather right now. So you are a lucky girl, lucky girl.
I want
to get to Luca Lashes. I love this name too, Luca Lashes. And Luca is your son.
He is our inspiration behind our series, The Love of Our Life.
You have put together a series of books that are either e-books and interactive apps for children 4 and under that turn the fear of first into fun. You and your husband, Amir, have decided to write many, many books, not just one. I mean, there's how many total?
We have 9 in our first library, and we have another 9 ready to go in our second library. And it's an entire family endeavor, not just my husband, but my sister and my mom also work with us.
How nice for you that you can make it a family project. That's incredible. There's so few families today that are doing things together, and I think that's incredibly important to work together and have a product that affects the lives of children and families across the United States and really around the world, because it's an ebook. So,
yeah, and in multiple languages. So we wrote it in English, French, Spanish, Chinese, and Italian. My husband speaks Italian and is the Italian translator.
Uh-huh.
My cousin speaks French. She's the French narrator. We really, you know, looked at our immediate circle and said, you know, how can we get this translated and reach as many people as possible?
Well, it was a great idea. Tell me what Luca Lashes means.
Well, it basically, our son was born with these just most amazing eyelashes. I don't know where they come from. They're not from my husband and I. And they're just awe-inspiring. When you look at him, I see lash. And so that's really, I guess, where the idea came from. When he blinks his eyelashes, he gains the strength and confidence that he needs to kind of conquer these firsts. And it's really fear of the unknown.
And so the books address the fear of the unknown and firsts that happen to kids. And I assume it's geared to kids, what, 3 to 8 or?
Well, you know, the thing is, if kids experience these different firsts at different times in their lives. You know, we generally think a lot of the firsts are conquered within, you know, the first 4 years of life. But
yeah.
I've talked to some families that didn't have their child travel till they were 7 or 8. So,
well, that's true. Flying on a plane until they were 7 or 8 years old to Disney World or something, you know.
Exactly. I've had a parents say, they didn't bring their child to the dentist. They weren't aware of that they should be bringing them so early in life. So it's really helpful to also get that awareness out there. The younger you bring them, the better. Teeth brushing is one of the stories. Dentist visit is another. Swimming lesson. Sometimes that occur later in life, not necessarily as early. But the earlier you start on a lot of these things, the better, and you develop, you know, better habits, healthy habits.
And how do you, with Luca, you didn't have this when you probably had your first fear experience with Luca, and what was that?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess we started with the teeth brushing experiences and going to the dentist. Because, you know, really, you know, there's flat books, a lot of them, of course, out there about going to the dentist, but, you know, the sounds of the dentist are often very frightful, the sound of the drill or the water pick.
Mm-hmm.
And so the interactive app allowed us to embed each of the apps with these different sounds associated with that first, and also a handful of fun things to make it, you know, engaging for children, so they learn and have fun along the way. And that was what was so interesting in the app world, which just kind of came about right as we had wrote these stories.
And so you decided apps. Why did you decide app and ebook instead of, what did you call it, a flat book? Is that what you call it? That's what you call a regular book, is a flat book?
A hard copy book.
Right. A hard copy book, yes.
Yep, or picture book, often referred to for kids. You know, when we originally created the idea, we wrote the stories, we were looking on what medium to deliver that to people on. And that's when the whole ebook and app kind of explosion was occurring. It's definitely a very green option, and
mm-hmm.
you are able to reach so many people in being on a marketplace in the App Store, iTunes. Obviously, you know, we're for sale all over the world, and people from all over the world download the apps. Even if that language isn't spoken in that country, people are living within that country that either are using it for the language that it's in or as a multilingual tool for their child to enhance their children's literature library. And that was another reason why we created it. In the multiple languages, we're teaching our son Italian, since my husband speaks Italian and
mm-hmm.
my in-laws speak Italian. It was really important our son start learning Italian at a very young age. And so we got him in class, and we're speaking to him at home. And then, of course, next thing is we're buying, you know, literature to support that, hard copy books. My in-laws are sending it from Europe because we're not really finding what we were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we wanted to create this tool in the multi-language, the app allows us to create one app and within it have the ability to turn it into the French version or the Italian version or the Chinese version. So it allows for like the two books in one capability. It was very attractive to us, especially with the explosion of the mobile device and the tablet.
Right.
Parents now have the ability to download it and use it in inconvenient places like on an airplane or in the waiting room in a doctor's office, a way to distract your child, but at the same time use it as an educational opportunity instead of playing another round of Angry Birds, for example.
And is it interactive?
Yes, the apps are interactive. So, for example, at the dentist, you know, you could play with the turn the light on and off, and play with the water pick, and hear the sounds, the sound of the drill, the chair moving up and down, the cart that sometimes is used. So, each of the experiences, we actually go and the sound guy goes to a location like the swim hall or a place where there's a large pool and gets the sounds associated with these experiences. And we're hoping that the child could also familiarize themselves with some of those sounds they're going to be hearing. Because, you know, parents, I was a first-time parent. I think I have more anxiety maybe than my child.
Absolutely. And how do you address that? I mean, is there something in Luca Lashes that talks to parents and the fears that they have of not knowing what's next? What's going to happen? I have this baby. Now I have this two-year-old. What's going to happen next? Do you address all of these fears?
Well, you know, we put a parental suggestion section at the back of each of the apps and ebooks. To kind of share some tips or give advice and provide maybe a website or such as it could possibly help elaborate on that subject further. It is scary, whether it's for the child or the parent, but the more prepared you can be going into that first, the more confidence you have to conquer it and to do it over and over again. So, you know, and at the same time, when you do it with your child, you could create a closer bond with them. And that's something very special that you do get from the picture books that have previously been used out there. Not just to, give it to your child and use it to, you know, as a babysitter, but to actually learn and use it with them.
Is there anything else out there that is similar to what you have developed here?
Not that we know of. Yeah. You know, there are similar, other characters that have been created, like an animal or an object, like a robot. But we wanted to come up with something that, you know, people could really identify with, a little
right.
boy, a little girl. I can't tell you how many consumers have typed in on our website, I really, really enjoyed reading the story. My child's making us read it every single night before we go to bed, and they really are excited to brush their teeth. And I know that sounds really, you know, simple, but if it's actually inspiring little ones to read and do something like, you know, get a great early start on a habit that could last a lifetime, we're really excited to be able to be part of that.
And how did you come up with the characters? Obviously, Luca is your son, but I'm looking at Pete. Do you have a dog named Pete?
My sister's has a dog, and that is her dog.
Very
it is
cute.
Her dog.
And everybody can see the characters on your website, Luca Lash's website, so they're all there. But I assume you know all of these people, and they've been embodied in these caricatures of what they are in real life.
They have. We've provided our illustrator pictures of what the character should look like, and then she comes up. Her variation of it, and she's just done a fabulous job. And she was originally from Chicago. Her husband got relocated to California, so she's now luckily in San Francisco and enjoying some warm weather as well. But she's just fabulous, and she creates everything for the website and all the activities for the website, which are custom created and made to also mirror the apps and the ebooks and enhance what that learning process is. This way a parent could print it out and have some activity associated with those books and help it, in essence, come to life.
How important is it to ask questions about, I mean, you may not know what fear your child has until it manifests itself within the dentist's office or at swim lessons, but how important is it to ask your child questions about his or her feelings and work through that so that they feel comfortable? What if you didn't have Luca Lashes? How would you deal with that?
Well, and that's exactly it. Each of our books does mention in the parental section, you know, make sure not to put your own fears onto your child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the part about asking questions and explaining things, it's really important. Just that conversation, we're going to the dentist, and at the dentist's office, this is what they do, and you come out with, you know, clean teeth, and you don't get cavities when you go to the dentist regularly, and, you know, you definitely want to paint it in a light where you're, like I said, not putting your own fears in that explanation, which is very easy to do as a parent. My mom was scared to death of swimming, and created a real fear in myself originally, which is where, you know, our swim story came from, and we got our son in the water right away with a swim instructor to, you know, really, really get that off the ground. And I wanted to not have my fears put onto him. And I could tell the handling of him in the water, I was just fearful because of that past experience. And so the more you tools you have, the more communication you have, the more prepared you and your child are going to be for that.
Well, Nicole, let me play devil's advocate for a second. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 52. And so I had to go to the dentist, and I had to learn to swim because we lived in Mexico part of the year. And so I had to do these things, and there was no Luca Lashes app then. So how did we become really great people and contributors to society and learn to do all these things without our parents, who probably in the 60s, 70s, and even the 80s didn't really address all these issues? Does that make sense? I mean, I don't think new parenting says that we have to address all of these things. But when you and I grew up, maybe not you because you look a little younger, it was just kind of a given. You had to brush your teeth.
Yeah, you and things weren't explained, and, you know, parents
right.
didn't ask, you know, how you felt after an event.
No, there were no feelings then. so how do you?
There's a great movie out called Parental Guidance, and it does explain that difference between that older generation and that younger generation. It's just fabulous.
That's the Billy
and my mom and I have that same discussion. But, you know, each generation is that much further ahead. I mean, children today, I mean, my son, you give him the iPhone or the iPad, and he's flipping through there and doing multiple things at the same time and reading a book and then playing on art. And so I think with each generation, there's advancement. So do you want to withhold that information from them or give it to them so, you know, maybe when they have children, they could just be so many light years ahead of us? So
sure.
I guess it's more of a futurist thought.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And I think you have to keep up with technology, and you have to keep up with what's going on in the world around you. But I think we became, you know, what we are with our antiquated, you know, system that we had and kind of don't ask, don't tell sort of thing. No, you have no feelings, so just brush your teeth and move on. I think this is a great thing. And I, you know, I think I can think of several friends who've just had children that I want to recommend this to, because I think it is an incredible thing. And I think parents today, sometimes my co-host Judge Michelle and I say this a lot, we overparent. We've created a group of entitled children who have the iPads and the iPhones. And it was funny, I was at CrossFit yesterday and we were talking about this very thing. And one of the guys who's 26, 27 years old said, I wish we could just go back to a telephone and a pen and a piece of paper instead of the technology that we have today, because it was more personal. Do you feel like this adds to the closeness of a family?
Well, I think with everything out there, moderation is the key. And it's a very slippery slope because this technology could be abused or it could be used to its potential. And there is really not enough regulation out there because it's so new that, you know, it's kind of a new frontier, so to speak. And I think, you know, parental guidance is just so critical.
It is.
And the more involvement you have, you know, learning about the apps and understanding what the child's doing online, all of these things are just critical in that process. And the more involved you are, the, you know, the end results we hope is better.
Yes, absolutely. And I love what you've done with presenting it. And if you look through the website, it's very clear and you can see exactly what you're getting and the languages are amazing. Now, do you have anything on the apps that actually, if a child doesn't, I mean, if you want your child to learn Italian, learn French, learn, is there a way to do that or is it strictly you have to know the language?
Well, this is just meant to complement what they're already learning. So, you know, it's not a learning tool. It's
okay.
Just, you know, the book in Italian or the book in Spanish. However, in the apps, the words are highlighted as they're spoken.
Ah.
So it helps a child with that, you know, sight, sound recognition with the words. So, you know, our son, who's been, you know, hearing the language since one when it's in Italian, you know,
mm-hmm.
now he's learning what the words look like in Italian.
Which
uh-huh.
is really helpful. And it's very
really?
Rosetta Stone-ish. Very Rosetta Stone-ish. So I don't know if you know that.
Yep. And the same thing goes, you know, with the French or Spanish or,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So Chinese, the characters. You know, are highlighted. So I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways to learn, and this is just one additional to complement, you know, the whole package of learning.
And so what's the cost when you're looking at this? How do you, what's the price points?
Well, the first app we have out for free, so everybody could meet Luca. Which,
nice.
You know, it's on the App Store and Barnes & Noble and Google Play. So that's an easy one. And then $1.99 for each of the apps. We have it priced, you know, competitively with what apps are going out there.
Uh-huh.
You know, right now what we find is, of course, places like Disney and Nickelodeon and Sprout, they're able to really price their apps low, and they
mm-hmm.
have a lot of marketing ability with products and stuff they sell, so they're able to keep those prices low. And we find that, you know, you can't really price an app too much higher than that. Our ninth book in the series, which is just about ready to hit the market, is actually three times longer than our first book. It is the longest. They get a little bit longer as they go. And that one we're putting on at $2.99.
That's the birthday party one, yes?
The ninth one is the airplane one.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at Luca Lashes for. I'm looking at titles for 2014, and number nine is the first birthday party. So your number nine is the airplane ride.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then those are the interactive apps. Then we sell eBooks on the iBook Store, Amazon Kindle, Barnes and Noble, Puppet. And those are all priced at $2.99.
That's really reasonable. That's amazing.
Really reasonable. And, you know, on an electronic, you know, on your tablet or on your iPhone, you definitely you know, want to have it stocked full of some really good choices for your child. So this way, when you are in inopportune areas, like waiting in line at a grocery store, and
mm-hmm.
it's almost about dinner time, and you just ran out of snacks. it's great to have a plethora of apps, affordable apps, on your device. You know, I definitely don't want to. I don't want to be downloading things that are $4.99 or $5.99.
No.
There's just so many different things out there. nowadays that, you know, we definitely, you know, want to stay, you know, very reasonable for everybody.
Because when your child is 10 to 16, they will be doing that on their own on your account.
Well, you know, unmonitored, yes.
Well,
who knows what they're downloading.
I know, absolutely. Well, I wanted to ask you, you know, all of the things that you've got that Luca does seem to be very, you know, positive experiences that they're going into. And even though they're fearful for Luca going to the dentist or swimming, first train ride, you do have one, losing a pet.
Yep.
Do you have any plans to do any books or ebooks or apps for very unpleasant experiences in a child's life? For example, bullying, for example, divorce, or something that I'm very heavily involved in, parental alienation, which is when one parent turns the child against the other parent. I mean, I could see if you could do an ebook or an app for that it would just be amazing to speak to those issues that children have to deal with in this day and age every day, all day long.
Yeah, we have, you know, grandma passing, and of course, you know, our losing a pet, which unfortunately we did experience this last September.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. It's just, it's definitely, you know, these unpleasant firsts are just as important or critical in talking about and shedding some light on, so to speak. And we definitely have plans on tackling some harder topics. Our list is 45 long on topics that we've heard. And I just wrote a couple more down as you were speaking, so very exciting.
Good.
And we are really waiting to get the first nine wrapped up, and we're going to be doing an upgrade to our first book shortly as well, enhancing that even further and putting the Chinese in it, because right now the first app only is in four languages. We added Chinese on a little bit later, so we're doing an upgrade for that. So as soon as we get all these first nine books tied up, then our focus will change and we'll get started on the additional stories. We do have people writing in topics as well, like ski school was the most recent that hit our mailbox. We do have ideas pouring in from our social media and our website, and it's exciting that people are so tuned and excited about it with us.
Well, I think there's so many things out there that are negative when it comes to trying to monitor, you know, what your kids are seeing and hearing and playing. And so something like this that's so good and so wholesome and so related to familiarizing children with new experiences, it's unusual to find something that has all of those facets that are a good thing. Like Martha Stewart says, it's a good thing. And I just applaud you for using technology to advance the maturity and the sort of common sense and upbringing of children all over the world.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, we're excited to help build better bonds, you know, with families just through this new technology. And as educators, you know, we're so excited to be able to help provide something that's educational out there for parents that, you know, that at the end of the day they, you know, they could definitely learn from rather than just watching their child waste time.
It's nice to be able to see somebody who can actually use their degree for what they, you know, you're doing what you went to school for, and that's amazing, you know, because so many people today get degrees and they can't find work, and you're doing exactly that and impacting the lives of people all over the world, so it's terrific.
Thank you. Thank you. Our translators, one of them has a doctorate, others have have master's degrees. And it's really exciting to be able to work together in this capacity from all around the world almost and be able to communicate in this new way with the World Wide Web. Previously, a project like this would have never been able to be created. And if so, it would have taken so much longer than it has. And it's about a year process for each app, unbelievably so.
Wow, a year. And how long ago, I mean, when did this project sort of come in? I mean, was it obviously after Luca was born? And he's how old? He's 4, 5?
He's actually gonna be 5 years old. And we applied for our business license, I think it was May of 2011, which was really, really a huge celebration, a family celebration, if you could imagine. And there's so much excitement behind it that, you know, of course, it's the root of what we talk about, you know, on inevitably on phone calls or at family gatherings or whenever we're with friends or family. It's just, it's really, you know, snowballed from there.
Yeah. Does Luca know what kind of a you know, uproar he's caused?
Oh,
I mean, does he know that he's the person who caused this whole thing?
Yeah, well, I went out with my cousin, and he said, "Is your son aware that he's like a brand?"
And he's like Band-Aid and Jell-O.
I would say he doesn't have it figured out, except for the fact that the back of our cars have, of course, Luca Lashes with our QR codes. So scan and download the free app. And as we've been getting out of the car, you know, at our, you know, language school or whatever the case is, they're like, "Are you Luca Lashes?" And, you know, he finally said one day, "Yeah, I am."
Oh, that's so neat. And he needs his own T-shirts and, you know, hats and everything. What about schools? Are you getting involved in curriculums at elementary schools?
Well, you know, we would love to. You know, that is definitely in our marketing plan. But since we've been in publication, it's so difficult to wear all the hats that are really needed for, you know, shedding the light on this project. And we can't wait to really be able to do that.
Well,
we have a mommy in the hospital story, pediatricians for, you know, the doctor visit story, pediatric dentists for, you know, the dentist story. So many great outlets where, you know, they could, you know, maybe be in the lobby right at that dentist's office or right at the doctor's office, and the child could kind of just familiarize themselves with it, you know, what to expect before. And that's definitely in our plans because that's when they need it the most.
You know, Nicole, as you say that, I'm thinking of you. If you could develop something specifically for St. Jude's Children's Hospital for children with cancer and leukemia that go there, that would be an amazing app for those kids who may or may not leave that hospital, but can have Luca Lashes while they're there and no comfort in the fear of being treated, chemotherapy or whatever it is. That would be a terrific app.
We plan to reach out to child life specialists, which I believe, you know, is the area that connects with, you know, families and could maybe provide some additional assistance during, you know, those really tough times.
I can see Marlo Thomas loving this, you know, for the hospital. It's an amazing thing, and what you're doing is incredible, and it will impact many, many children. And we at Syndicated News are proud of what you're doing, and if there's anything we can do for you to help you out, please let us know.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jill. I really can't say how excited we are to be able to share this with you today and your audience, and that offer is just unbelievable. Thank you.
Well, you keep up the good work, and we will watch for great new apps and ebooks coming out from Luca Lashes. But tell us where we can find you. Your web address is?
It's lucalashes.com. www.thefamilyhub.com. But also, of course, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, on our YouTube channel. We created, we took all the parental suggestions from all of our books and all of the languages, and we made book trailers. So we laid those parental suggestions to the backdrop of the book's illustration and made them for free on YouTube. So those are all available on our YouTube channel. And we have over 100,000 views there, which is just unbelievable. Really, really exciting. So make sure to follow us, and this way you could find out, you know, all the happenings. Everybody on our team participates in the social networking. So as the illustrator's drawing stuff, she's sharing stuff, and you'll see a lot of different things there. And we're really excited to it's an extension of an app and bringing that book to life. And the project is actually, you know, is being talked about in live time. I would love to have everybody on that with us and to share those endeavors.
We will be there with you, Nicole, and you and Demir and your family, keep up the good work, and we will be watching for you and looking to for you to become larger and larger and help children all across the world. And we really are happy that you were with us tonight, and you enjoy that weather out there in Arizona. We will try to stay warm here in Illinois. And I hope to talk to you soon. Keep us posted on what you're doing, please.
Sounds great. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. And we just hope from Judge Michelle and I that at some point we can try to get something for kids who are working through divorce. That's what this show was born out of, parental alienation and divorce. So if you ever need any help with that, we would love to be a part of that.
Parental alienation.
Parental alienation. Yes.
Wonderful question. That definitely had not been on our list, but when we get to that, don't be surprised if you're hearing from me.
All right. I'll be waiting, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks, Nicole.
All right, Jill. Have a great evening.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.